Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 337 for February 7th, 2018. The Lee Family and Falcon Heavy. Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 p.m. Central. You can do the UTC math because I'm not that smart. I cannot brain today. I have the dumb. One thing I do know is that it is time for Ham Nation, and we have a really good show tonight. We have most of the usual suspects. Dr. Bob is not with us tonight, and Uncle Gordo is not with us tonight, but the rest of the children, for the most part, are here. Let's let's take Age Before Beauty and go up north and visit with George Thomas, W5JDX. Hey, George.
Well, I'm flattered by the intro, Don. I don't know what to say about it.
I do what I can.
I owe you one.
Yes, you do.
Well, it's good to be back this week. I've got a little segment on coax that we're going to look at, a special coax that, it's kind of expensive, but in most cases, you'd only use a few feet of it. And we're going to put a connector on it and look at how you do that. So ought to be a lot of fun. And also, we've got a special segment from our friend Randy, K7AGE, who was at Quartz Fest recently with Gordo and the gang out there. And he got us a nice interview with Jerry Ellsworth and Amy, too. And we're looking forward to that. You know, you can't go wrong with an interview with those two in it.
Boy, that's a fact. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant ladies. I mean, just Jerry Ellsworth, if you're not familiar with her, she's just, you'll see. You'll see. Also, let's head over towards Colorado and let's talk to our little friend, Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello. I am your little friend here on Ham Nation. Good evening. Everything's doing wonderful here. We've got some great guests on. Do you mind if I go ahead and introduce them, Don?
Why, in fact, I'm going to start calling you Hamanda, I believe, because, you know, you are. So, no, please
Amanda.
Go right ahead. Let's Hamanda. Let's go ahead. We're gonna hear from Dr. T. Let me do this though before we get into your little friends. We're gonna hear from Dr. T with the solar update via video, and also I'd like to say hello to all of our people listening on the giant WTWW flamethrower at 5085 and 12.105 over into Africa and whatnot. And if you've got anything that you would like to email to WTWW, then you can do that. It's very easy. Email at WTWW.us. If you've got ham radio related stuff, if you've got song requests, even anything that you want to let them know about, they are more than happy to take that and spread your ham radio news around the continent. Well, around the world, the actual globe, and perhaps beyond. So there you go at WTWW. We thank them for carrying the audio for Ham Nation. All right, Hamanda. Let's hear from your little friends, because this is going to be an exciting segment. So go ahead.
Well, I am actually excited. And when you say Hamanda, I feel like, like that. Sorry. Okay. We have some great guests tonight. Everyone knows the Lee family. Let's face it. We all love to follow them on Facebook and find out what's new and exciting in their worlds. Tonight, we have part of them on visiting, and I think we'll see some pop-ups here and there from the rest of the family. But we have Faith Hannah and Hope on tonight. And they did, they had a family outing yesterday, and I'm just going to let them tell us about what they saw yesterday and what they operated and how much fun it was. Faith Hannah, why don't you start? Tell us what you guys did yesterday.
Well, the Falcon Heavy rocket from SpaceX launched yesterday, so we decided to go out to the launch site and do a special event for the launch. So we got there early in the morning. We set up satellite. We had a small Go box that we made to do satellite. That's the Go box. And earlier you saw Pope holding the antenna for the Go box. And inside the car, we used our mobile rig to operate on HF. We did 40 and 20, I believe. And yeah, as you can see from that picture, we used solar. And the call sign we used was my call sign because it worked for the launch, because the last two letters could be Falcon Heavy. And somebody else actually thought of auxiliary engines for Falcon Heavy. So that was kind of funny. But we also had a couple of our friends show up. We had Ricardo, KV4OP, who actually made his first satellite QSO while we were there. And we had Robin, G1MHU, and his wife, Ruth, 2E0MHU, join us for the launch. And I believe they might have gotten on. I know Ricardo got on the radio. I don't know if Robin or Ruth got on the radio, but they were at least there and listened and participated. So we worked several satellites, Fox 1A, Fox 1B, SO50. I believe we did Fox 1D. Did we do any others?
No.
Yeah, we didn't do any others.
So I heard you made about 100 QSOs on HF during this time?
Yes, we made 100 QSOs. So I actually made the last QSO. I tried to get up to 100 before the day ended, but it just got so late. I finally got that 100th one in before we had to start packing up to go home.
It's always fun when you can make that goal and you finally make it happen. Now, Hope, I hear that you had a hand in making that Go box, if not most of the hand in making that Go box. Tell us, how long did it take you to do it?
We actually started it a little while ago. It was, I don't know when. We took a day and we started out with some of the planning and the cutting wood and staining and all of that stuff. So we got to doing that. That's the Go box next to me. When it was finished, we used it yesterday and we finished it on the 5th. So we got to use it after we did all the building, which included getting the box. And when we got the box, it had holes in it. We're actually, by the way, getting a video. We're going to put a video up soon of how we did it. And I'll talk about where that is later on. But we got to get the box, which had some holes in it. And the holes were different shapes than what needed. So we just improvised and we did what we could. We made one of the holes on the end for the antenna. And we made the other two holes for power poles and for the power, which would then go to the battery and the power mini. And the wires, as you can see, there's a nice wood thing that we put the radio, the power mini, and the mic holder on that's screwed down. Wires belong in there, and it's raising up the radio. So we put the thing together after measuring and everything like that. We got everything in, and we strapped in the battery, bio-NO batteries, and our radios in, and we got everything in. And then we went to get some whiteboard and then the paper there. Ricardo gave us that. It was a satellite thing. It's a few papers with some satellites that were listed on. And as you can see, it says EL98, AE4FH, Falcon Heavy Special Event, next satellite, Fox 1D, not Ivy. Daddy wrote that because he wanted to make sure that no one mistaked it.
Anyway, no, I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it.
Well, that's a spectacular job on that box. And your dad said something funny to me on the phone today. He says, can you imagine seeing a Pelican box for sale at a ham fest with holes in it? Who does that? Anyhow, that was funny. We have a couple of videos to show. So, Victor, if you want to show those, the audience is going to love them.
Alpha Echo, America Echo 4, Foxtrot Hotel.
Launch. It's launching.
Okay,
Okay, it is launching. The rocket is launching right now, and there's a lot of smoke, but that always happens. But so far, it's going well, and still going up. And just went behind a cloud and came out, and it's gonna go behind another cloud.
Now that one is really cool. Who doesn't love some kids who would rather talk on the radio instead of watch the rocket go up? What? I'm amazed. Now, Victor, did we have another video?
No, I think there was only one of them.
Oh, was there? Okay. I might have uploaded that too late for you. There was another one with some satellite contacts, but that's no worries. Maybe we can play it some other time. Let's see. Faith, Hannah, and Hope, you guys are headed to Hamcation tomorrow. What are your plans for there?
We're going to volunteer on Thursday for getting ready so that we can get into it the next days. And you get to volunteer there, basically. If you want to volunteer, then if you work a shift of 4 hours, then you can get a free ticket to go in for the whole weekend. You can volunteer at different times before, which is on Thursday, which we're doing tomorrow. You can do security during, and there's a lot of good things about it. So, what do you know?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different things you can volunteer for. We are set up to volunteer for security. We're not sure if that's actually going to work out or if we're going to get changed into something else. But we're planning to work for security tomorrow, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is HamFest.
That sounds like a blast. So you guys volunteer to get in for free. That's awesome. And Dad, anything else you want to throw in? What else have the kids been up to lately?
Hey, I'm going to stick my head in here. James, 3X4 TV. Scoot over, girls. I wasn't planning on being on. You can sit down now.
Oh, well, I had to throw you under the bus a little bit.
So we found out recently that either two or three of us will be going to the Dry Tortugas later this summer. And that'll be fun during the UHF or the VHF UHF contest in June. And they've asked for some satellite operators to come down. And if Faith Hannah is not actually having to take her college classes, Faith Hannah started college last semester at 12 years old. I'm going to brag on her and brag on her brother, who started at 15. And he made the dean's list and she made the president's list for doing very well in their classes. They may be in the summer school during that time. So Faith Hannah may or may not be able to go, but looks like at least Hope and I would be able to go to the Dry Tortugas. And that's a really rare grid, one of the most rare grids in the United States. And it's during the grid chase. So that should be fun on satellite. We'll also be doing some HF. What else are we going to be doing? We're going to get into fox hunting. Our local club, I was elected president of our local club a couple months ago, and our vice president just got a fox, so we can start doing fox hunting. And so we'll be doing that with the club. Any other things you can think of?
The hamradio.world video with the thing. I was going to say, we're going to put a video on soon of making the Go Box and the rocket launch. And there's another rocket launch that I did at Canaveral when we were operating, and so we have a lot of things there, but we have a YouTube channel. Is that the bit.ly/hamvideos?
bit.ly/hamvideos. HAMVIDEOS.
Or just search for Ham Radio World, I think we'll bring it up as well. So,
yeah,
Don, did you have any questions? I think this is a good time to mention nominations.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We have Tyler in here now. I texted Tyler and told him that was the pig was you back there in the background. So
I feel so honored.
I love the pig. Should.
The pig is awesome. Yeah, we'll put a little plug in for the Young Ham of the Year Award. That nominations will open March 1st for Amateur Radio Newsline's Young Ham of the Year Award. I'm in my mic shadow here, but that's okay. As long as you can see my son's face. And I can tell you, I mean, I know that the Lee family is going to be well represented one of these years. It's just a matter of time as to when one of these girls or the brother wins. Just amazing. It's an amazing way to honor young hams, and we would love to bring you guys into the fraternity. So if make sure that somebody nominates one of these Lee kids for sure. That's just awesome. And Tyler always usually goes to the Young Ham of the Year, and you've met a whole bunch of them over the years, and they're just amazing kids, aren't they?
Yeah,
just a lot of fun. You're an amazing kid too. N7TMW here. So yeah, Amanda, back to you. I think that Faith, Hannah, and Hope have done with this launch is just amazing. Very, very proud of the whole family.
I do too, and I want everyone to know that this family of actually there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like a family of 5. So Michelle and James and Zachariah, Faith, Hannah, Hope, and Grace. They do a spectacular job, and they show us all up in ham radio. I'm going to put that out there. The Lee family, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we hope to have you on many more times.
Well, thank you for having us. I'm going to have Grace stick her head in and wave and say hi here for a second. Stick your head in, Grace. KM4TXT.
Hi, Grace. There's Grace, that beautiful face.
Grace made several contacts on HF yesterday, and Faith, Hannah. Faith Hannah did say to remind, I don't know if you got the picture downloaded or not. We are probably going to have a QSO card with Spaceman and the Tesla Roadster as long as we get permission from SpaceX. But apparently all their photographs are in the public domain anyway. So or if you have that picture, you can show it, or maybe you can get downloaded later. I was just handed a breaking news here.
Breaking news, being
a news person, I can read this on the air. Michelle's always good for reminding me of things to say. You know, when we go out and do these ham radio things, it is a lot of fun, but one of the real reasons we do it is to get more people interested in ham radio and to expose people to ham radio. And it's a great way to let people know what ham radio is and to expose them to the hobby. You know, we did a live video on Christmas night, where Hope was building a kit she got for Christmas, an electronic kit, and somebody in Italy was watching the live stream, and they mentioned that they saw the girls and the kids on YouTube, and they got their license in Italy, so that was kind of cool. And yesterday, we had several people, dozens of people, stop by and ask, "What are you guys doing?" We got to talk to them, share ham radio with them. We had a Japanese journalist show up, and I don't know if we ended up on TV in Japan. He shot some video. We also had a reporter from the Orlando Sentinel show up, and he did a pretty good representation of what we were doing in a multi-page article that the Sentinel did over the period of the day. And then also, I don't remember the call sign. I wish I'd written his call sign down. We saw a guy early in the morning park across the street from us. He had a Larson dual band antenna on the roof. Went over and asked him if he was a ham. He was from Michigan. His last day in Florida for the winter. And he came over and got really excited in the hobby. And, you know, we've been a guy yesterday morning at 7-Eleven. It was about 4:30 in the morning. Went to 7-Eleven to get some iced tea and some caffeine to make it through the day. And he was like, "Wow, what kind of an antenna? What meter does that antenna cover on the roof there?" And I was talking to him. Come to find out, he's a ham from way back in the 60s. Hasn't been on the air in a while. There's a video of Hope doing that. People are getting excited, and that's why we do this. The YouTube channel, the website, is to get people excited about the hobby, to get young people excited, to get adults excited, and to try to bring more life into the hobby and get more people involved. So long story of why we do it. It's not for the fame. It's not for the fortune, because there certainly isn't any fortune. It's costing us a fortune to do this.
That's for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna cut you short just a little bit, but I want to remind everyone in the chat room, the Lee family is going to stay throughout the show. So if you guys come up with some questions, we're going to throw them at them at the end. All right, James, Faith, Hannah, Hope, Grace. So we're going to be back to you in a little bit. So Don, I think you have a word from Rocket Mortgage there.
I do. I was typing. I was unprepared. I'm so sorry. I was typing in the chat room. Awesome job, Lee family. You guys are just amazing and just the best ambassadors for amateur radio. Because, first off, who doesn't like kids? Who doesn't like a neat family? And a neat family with kids that are all ham radio operators doing some amazing things. Just absolutely amazing. And I think that it's perfectly fitting that we have Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans on with us tonight, bringing you this episode of Ham Nation. Everybody needs a house. And I was thinking about this driving home, knowing I was going to have to talk about Rocket Mortgage. If you rent, you're paying somebody else's mortgage. And in a lot of cases, it's probably a lot cheaper to buy a home than it is to rent. Some rents are just exorbitantly high. So pay your own mortgage. Don't pay somebody else's. And the easiest way to get started paying your own mortgage is through Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience, first off, was not keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that is exactly why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. And it's very simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you are getting the right mortgage for you. And that is key. It's also very convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Start building your own equity. Don't be paying somebody else's mortgage. Pay your own. Own your own home. You can do that with Rocket Mortgage. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. We're going to go just a little bit higher up in the sky. We're going to hear from Dr. Tamitha Scove right after we hear from the news of the week down here on Earth from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2101, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. Breaking news, the hotly anticipated Bouvet 3Y0ZD expedition has been aborted. Citing high winds, low clouds, fog, rough seas, and difficulty with one of the ship's engines, the captain aborted the journey at 2000 UTC Friday, February 3rd, declaring it unsafe to continue, and departed the area for a return trip to Punta Arenas. All crew and team are safe, but disappointed, and talk has begun about rescheduling the trip. Bouvet Island is the number 3 most wanted DX entity behind Kosovo and North Korea. More details as they come in. Some disappointing news from the Greene County Fairgrounds on new construction for Hamvention.
Hamvention organizers report a backlog on the prefabricated building sections, causing a construction delay not just for Hamvention but for the Greene County Fair. A January 29th report in the Dayton Daily News said bidding for the $1.9 million Expo Center closed with one bidder, Greater Dayton Construction Limited, citing higher costs than the county had estimated. County Administrator Brandon Huddleston told the newspaper that the company was not able to guarantee the building's opening in time for Hamvention at the Greene County Fairgrounds. The county's plan now, he said, is to rebid the project again in the summer to ensure the building would be in place later this year. Ron Kramer reaffirmed Hamvention's commitment to the Fairgrounds. However, organizers noted that an additional building was to be available this year, a 7,500 square foot structure being vacated by Fairgrounds Furniture, which was until April to leave the premises. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NHWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
How about some good news? There's one more satellite out there ready for amateur use.
Now, this is the kind of grand opening that satellite enthusiasts can't resist. The Fox 1D satellite, AO92, is available for amateur radio operations. The satellite had been launched on January 12th from India and underwent vigorous testing by AMSAT engineering and operations teams before making its debut. The announcement of its availability by Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT Vice President of General Operations, came after word that the satellite had been commissioned and turned over to AMSAT. Updates on the satellite schedule will be available via AMSAT's Twitter account, @AMSAT, and will also appear on AMSAT's North America Facebook group page in the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins. The operation is being shared among the UV-FM transponder, L-band downshifter, Virginia Tech camera, and the University of Iowa's High Energy Radiation CubeSat instrument. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
And finally, just weeks after he became a silent key, the name of one ham will live on in a special honor.
Only recently we shared the news of the tragic death of noted DXer and Elmer to many, David Collingham, K3LP. To honor his memory, there is now an award that bears his name. The K3LP Humanitarian and Service Award has been introduced by the Intrepid DX Group, honoring the group's co-founder and president, who became a silent key in early January while attempting to rescue his dog from a frozen pond. The first such award will be given in April when the DX Group holds its international convention in Visalia, California. The nomination period closed on the 31st of January, and we await word on who will be the first recipient. The award is to be presented to the amateur or amateur group that has accomplished some enduring humanitarian work or service during 2017. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Stephen Kenford in 8WB, Kevin Trotman in 5PRE, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a new chance for a solar storm that could bring aurora down to high latitudes, and a huge active region rotates into Earth view, and it's firing solar flares and solar storms. What does that mean for us? Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity really picks up this week. It started with a few gorgeous eruptions we had on the sun, and now we're waiting for some fast wind from this weakening coronal hole that's now rotated into the Earth's strike zone. It should be sending us some moderately fast wind that might bump us up to active conditions if we're lucky, but it should give us some decent aurora views, especially at high latitudes for you aurora photographers. Now, the big story, though, is region 2699. We were watching this region emerge on the sun's backside, and it started firing off B and C class flares, even a couple solar storms. And now that it's rotated into Earth view, it's boosted the solar flux, which is great news for you amateur radio operators and emergency responders. You should be enjoying some decent radio propagation right now. And then as we've watched this thing rotate close to the Earth strike zone, bam, it lights off a near M-class flare. This is the first we've seen in quite some time, folks, and it's almost a radio blackout, but it's almost as if the sun is celebrating the Falcon Heavy launch that we saw that SpaceX put up just yesterday. And with David Bowie's Starman lighting the way to Mars, it looks like this is going to be a fun week. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see before region 2699 came into view, we were actually sitting at very low solar flux and X-ray flux, really just hovering below the B floor. But then at the end of February 4th, you can see everything changed. Region 2699 came into view and wham, up goes the X-ray flux and the solar flux. Amateur radio operators told me that it was like almost like a light switch flipping on with radio propagation. Suddenly they could hear on the bands again. And that's what we've been dealing with ever since. We're kind of hovering between the B and the C class floor and the X-ray flux. And so we're just kind of sitting there waiting and watching, trying to figure out what this region's going to do. And sure enough, bam, on the 7th, we get a near M flare. We get some decent noise, not quite a radio blackout, but it's getting close. So it looks to us that region 2699 might actually be coming an M flare player. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see we've actually been pretty quiet for easily over the past week. As a matter of fact, if we want to get back to active conditions, we have to look back to the last week in January. Now, we almost made active conditions in the first few days of February, and this was due to some fast wind from a coronal hole, but really the wind kind of just ramped on very gently. We never got really slammed by it at Earth, so it never really gave us the intensity of the storm we were looking for. Nonetheless, it gave us some gorgeous aurora at high latitudes, which lasted over a few days. And since then, we've kind of slowly just calmed down and quieted down. But this won't last. We are hoping to get a little bit more fast wind, moderately fast wind, from that coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next couple days. And it might bump us up back to easily to unsettled, maybe even active conditions. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what you can immediately see is region 2699 emerging and forming on the backside of the sun. It was almost explosive in its growth early on, and now it's rotated into Earth view, and it's still firing off its solar flares and solar storms. So we are keeping a close eye on it to see whether or not it becomes an M-flare player. Meanwhile, we also have this arrow-looking coronal hole. Now, this is the one that caused some almost solar storm levels last time it rotated into the Earth strike zone. So it will give us yet another chance for some solar storming in about 2 weeks. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that moderately fast wind from that coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth's strike zone. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with up to a 30% chance of a minor storm. Now, at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting normal to unsettled conditions with about a 25% chance of active conditions over the next couple days. But remember, it's kind of hard to deal with a collapsing coronal hole like what we're seeing here, and the predictions are a little bit difficult to gauge. So this could be a decent solar storm, or it could be a fizzle. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, what a difference a day makes. Region 2699 has definitely captured our attention, and we are back into the yellow when it comes to M-flare risk. This means you emergency responders and amateur radio operators, you're definitely experiencing some noise on the bands right now, and you could be at risk for a small radio blackout or so. We're not completely in the clear. It also means you GPS users and GNSS users, you might have some issues, especially at the dawn dusk terminators where GPS is oftentimes affected anyway. And this just adds a little extra stuff for you to deal with. But nice thing is that we don't have any threat for solar radiation storms at this time. 2699 just isn't a big enough player for that. But we do have marginal propagation back on the radio bands, and this condition should last us easily for the next 10 days or so. I just wanted to say what an amazing time it is to be alive, to watch that Falcon Heavy successfully launch such a precious payload into space. And this is a game changer, because not only can we sing about life on Mars, but we actually get a chance to go there. But this means that space weather is going to become that much more important to our daily lives. And I can't think of a better way to herald in this new era than to send Major Tom off in a red roadster to the red planet. Bravo, SpaceX. Bravo. So the space weather this week is very exciting. We're waiting right now for some moderately fast wind from this weakening coronal hole. It should be hitting us here in the next day or so. We're not expecting a big storm, but it could bring some aurora down to high latitudes. So your aurora photographers, you might get some action. Now, meanwhile, we've got region 2699 that's rotated into view, and it has not disappointed. It's been firing off solar flares and solar storms, none of them Earth-directed as of yet, but as it's rotating closer to the Earth strike zone, it's lit off a near M-class flare. So what this means for you amateur radio operators and emergency responders is that you're getting some noise on the bands, and you do have to be on the lookout for a radio blackout or so. And then you GPS and GNSS users, you guys are are probably okay, but just be a little bit more cautious during the dawn and dusk times when GPS has a tendency to be a bit more susceptible anyway, because this just adds a little bit of squirreliness to the mix. But outside of that, we're going to be keeping a strong eye on Region 2699 to see if it's going to send any more fireworks off to Major Tom. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Always always an honor to have you as part of our team here, and we do appreciate you. And if you don't follow her on Periscope and Twitter, then you really should. It's at Tamitha Scove, T-A-M-I-T-H-A-S-K-O-V. You saw it right there on your screen. And check her out at spaceweatherwoman.com. Just, man, so cool to have her as part of us. And yeah, she is still studying for her ham ticket. She's going to get there. Right now, though, let's go back out to Quartz Fest, where Randy, K7AGE, caught up with two extraordinary women, Jerry Ellsworth, AI6TK, and Amy Herndon, AI6ZU. This is good stuff right here.
So here we are at Quartz Fest, and Jerry's got something in her hand here that she's built.
So I zipped this guy together really quick. This is a little QRP transceiver, a little directional coupler, so I can do some SWR, some batteries to run the whole thing. Loading coil from this is actually a silent key. My wife gave me this. And then a really long antenna, so I can do 40 meters. So I was sitting at the campfire doing JT65 with my 10-foot antenna sticking
and
up.
Android tablet.
Android tablet. So it's all self-contained.
Yeah.
Portable JT65.
What was the app that you found for that?
Android JT65. Okay. Unfortunately, not too many people are using JT65 these days. So
I was thinking you need to find an FT8 application.
There isn't. Like, I'm super surprised that there is an FT8 and there's only one JT65 app.
Okay, Internets, get on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, or we're going to have to do it.
That's right. Cherry will.
So anyway, I whipped this together just before Quartz Fest, the night before. So just bent a little piece of ABS. I know I'm not supposed to heat ABS, but I did it anyway. And drilled a hole, put this loading coil on there, and tuned it up. Had to get Amy to listen to me transmitting, so we make sure it was working.
I listened
to
my KX3 and
okay. See
if I could hear it coming through.
So my only QSO was right here in camp, which is kind of makes me sad. But
so what else you have on the table here? I can only see this side.
Bunch of stuff. So 7300 running off of a LiFePO battery. You know, the
LiFePO 4 battery.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How big is this guy?
Is that like the, is that the 100
amp hour? 100 amp hour or something?
Oh, boy.
We've been chewing on this battery all week and it's still going.
Yep.
Even tried to make coffee off of it once, literally. And then, Amy, explain your stuff.
Oh, I've just got my KX3 set up over here with my PX3 and then my laptop to do JT65, which, you know, of course, last night I tried to do JT65 and the entire spectrum was just splattered with FT8, so I think I need to start doing FT8 now.
Yes.
So.
And your call is?
AI 6. Let's see if I can.
ZU.
ZU.
There we go.
There
cool.
We go.
Zombie unicorns.
And down here I've got a little Butterworth bandpass filter that I've been using. It's set up for HF, so everything from 10 meter, 20 meter, 40 meter, and 80 meter. So that we get a little bit of filtering going on, especially with all of these other hams all around the campground, you kind of have to have a filter.
And who made that?
I made that.
You made that?
Yeah, I made that. I wound all the little toroids and...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I need to get it in a case now. So I need to get it in a case with a little switch so I can just quickly switch which band I want to filter on.
Very good.
I'm always surprised how many people are scared to wind their own toroids.
It didn't
scare Amy off. She just, like, got out there and wound them like a pro.
You get yourself a good meter, and then you can, you know, test the toroids afterwards, make sure that you're hitting the right frequencies. So
non-paid advertisement.
Yeah.
So what is that?
I love these.
I got this because I was winding these guys and I wanted to make sure that I could actually figure out. So what we have here is the LCR meter.
Okay.
This thing is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and then we also have down here the what is this guy? I don't think I is this the one that you
transistor checker.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. The transistor checker. That thing is amazing. You're the one that built the electronics.
Okay, it's just a transmitter only. So
it's just a transmitter.
Just a transmitter.
So what do you got here?
Okay, so this is a little QRP transmitter that I built a little over a year ago to go on a boat trip, a Holland America trip, where they didn't really want us to do ham radio stuff, so we thought we'd do a little PSK stealthy stuff and do
Whisper.
Yep.
And so what I have here is a little commutating modulator that I built. Made a custom crystal.
Why don't you explain what a commutating modulator is?
So instead of just mixing local oscillator, which is just a single phase, you actually mix with switches. So you have four switches, and you have four different phases, and you have a local oscillator that's four times the frequency you want to modulate on. But an interesting part of this transmitter is I didn't have a 28 megahertz crystal, and I didn't have a 14 megahertz crystal that was correct. So what it is, I took a 14 megahertz crystal, opened it, put it in a sputter coater, and I coated metal onto the crystal until I lowered the frequency exactly so it would be right into band.
Oh, well, back in my day, we would open them up and get some toothpaste and a toothbrush and kind of grind it down a little bit.
But okay. It's a little trickier now that they have the silver plated contacts on there. But I was able to take some crystal, I don't remember, it was probably 8 megahertz, and bring it down to, I have it written on here, or I mean, it was probably 15 megahertz. I brought it down to 14.152. But that doesn't get me my four phases. So digitally, in a little CPLD,
CPLD?
Complex Programmable Logic Device.
Okay.
I used both edges of the clock, and I was able to double the frequency and get all the phases that I need just using rising and falling edge flip-flops. So okay. I was proud of myself to do that. Yeah. So that's kind of this section here. So this does the modulation. There's a little transmit relay here that turns my power amplifier off. So this is just a little Class A power amplifier. Little. I mean, this thing is just... really is just whispering. But and then Amy put together a really nice box, and we wanted it to look like a MIDI or a guitar effects pedal. So it's got all kinds of things that says like MIDI in, audio, instrument, and power. And then she made some clever, if you're into video games, clever little logos. The Radiation King, which is part of Fallout video game series.
And also, it's a little bit of a crossover there. So if you're Dr. Strangelove.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Bob.
And if they were really smart and they actually checked this thing, they'd see right on the rocket here, I put JT65.
Oh, okay.
Oh, rocket JT65. Yeah, that's right. We weren't doing Whisper. We were doing JT65.
Okay. But really, really low QRP.
Back when people did JT65, so last year.
I know.
So last year.
So last month.
About the FDA
now. And so we had a little mag-mount antenna, which is on the side of the cabin, and we were able to get into North America from...
We were on the starboard side of the ship.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Thought we'd get Japan.
So starboard side of the ship on the Pacific Ocean heading south, and we thought we would, our propagation would be out over the Pacific Ocean. Maybe we'd get Japan or something. When we checked PSK Reporter later, we were actually pretty surprised. We ended up getting into the States. So
cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Let's go outside.
Yeah, let's go outside.
Wow. And yes, there will be a part two, hopefully next week. Randy, K7AGE, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with Jerry and Amy. Just... I met those two at Xenia last year, and just I'm awestruck, as I've been watching the chat room. A lot of you are as well. Just brilliant. Talk about a great asset to amateur radio. Wow. Well, another good asset we have to amateur radio is our very own George Thomas. You can see Jerry was wearing the Amateur Logic shirt. I thought that was quite apropos. We'll talk to George coming up right after this word from ICOM.
Communicating has never been more fun than with ICOM. From D-Star to SDR,
ICOM uses the most advanced technology in their radios. The SDR you've asked for is here. ICOM's new 7610 is a high-performance RMDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling system, 110 dB RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Communicate with a new D-Star communications device. Easy to operate, the ID31A Plus is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide digital communication. Share pictures and text messages. IPX waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. The ID31A Plus is the new UHF handheld that you'll want. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios. And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, you can register to win in the monthly grand prize drawing as well for a new radio. And for, let's see, January, we've got a winner. You know, the prize was the ICOM ID31A Plus handheld UHF transceiver. The winner, Dale KF4DCY. Congratulations, Dale. They'll be getting that right out to you, and you're really going to enjoy it. But the rest of you, go register tonight, because we're going to have another radio for February. It's the ICOM ID51A Plus 2 VHF, UHF, D-Star Portable, extended D-Star coverage, terminal mode, access point mode. You can send and receive pictures, send and receive text messages. You can set the transceiver's DR functions from the RMS-1A application or a map application. That's nice. See the location of repeater sites or other DPRS stations on a map application. View and export received history of the transceiver. View detailed data in the transceiver's repeater list. And you can import and export the repeater list and the call sign list from or to the transceiver. And, of course, there's a free downloadable Android app available for it as well. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. That means you can register each week. And sign up. Good luck. Congratulations to Dale, this month's winner, or actually January's winner. And who knows, you could be February's grand prize winner. So ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And Don, I just want to clarify now. No, that was not a setup. I did not send them those shirts.
Hey, she's a fan. She's a genuine fan of yours. That's cool.
Oh yeah, we've known Jerry for a lot of years because we both started, doing videos about the same time, and there weren't, a lot of us doing video podcasts or internet videos at all back in the day. So we've known her a long time, and really. Yeah. Some great stuff. It makes me almost ashamed to present what I have to show here tonight after seeing all that great work. But, we've got wireless antennas, but Don, you still have to run a wire to them.
That's right. You got to have that wire going to the antenna, right?
That is correct. We haven't solved that yet, although Jerry may be working on an idea for that. I don't know. We'll have to see. But tonight I wanted to show you a particular coax that I like to use for, it's RG142. We'll just show you a little more about it. And also how to install a BNC connector. This originally aired in Amateur Logic November 2016, but we haven't seen it here before. And if you're working with repeaters or, some really low signal level applications, this might be just what you need. I've been making up a lot of RF jumper cables and different things, getting ready to install four 1 kilowatt FM transmitters at a site. And I needed a lot of different cables and things. And this is a cable I had seen before, but you may not have seen it. It's not used a lot, but just something a little different that you could have an application for. I wouldn't suggest putting 100 feet out there to run to your dipole. It might be a little expensive for that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not cheap, O-Man compliant.
No. You know, there are a lot of different choices when you're looking for coaxial cable. Tonight, we're going to look at one that you may not have seen before. It's RG142. It's a high-temperature coaxial cable that's widely used in commercial wireless applications. It also works very well in sensitive environments like avionics. RG142 can be used for radar. It's used a lot with GPS, medical systems, broadcast gear, test equipment, and you'll see it used a lot of times for jumpers at repeater sites. The reason is the double shielding of the cable. The center conductor is a 19 American wire gauge, silver-coated, copper-covered steel conductor. It's plenum rated, has a Teflon dielectric. It's got double silver-coated copper braid shields with 95% coverage and an FEP jacket. And because it's approved for direct burial, you can use RG142 coax in underground connections and still have good shielding efficiency. The cable was specifically built for the United States military in World War II. It's used for satellites, systems, and other tactical operations and equipment. Because of the importance of those cables, the military required them to have a maximum and minimum dielectric adhesion values, specific shrinkback allowances, eccentricity standardizations, stress crack resistance tests, and a lot of other specifications that add to the durability and reliability of the cable. RG142 utilizes standard connectors, so you don't need proprietary or exotic pieces. It has good shielding effectiveness between 40 and 60 dB and low passive intermod. Degradation of signal quality is kept to a minimum. That's why this cable works really good with repeater duplexers where you don't want any signal leaking around from the transmitter getting back into the receiver. Since RG142 is made with a solid dielectric, it has a high rate of crush resistance, and it's the coaxial cable of choice for tactical operations and applications. Here's some things that kind of set it apart. Temperature-wise, it's good from minus 67 degrees to 395 degrees Fahrenheit. You're not going to do that with your average coax. It's also solder and solvent resistant. Let's just do a few comparisons here. RG8X, which we're all fairly familiar with, and I'll use it because it's a similar size coax. It's usable out to 1 gigahertz. RG142 is usable to 8 gigahertz. Now, the loss of RG142 is a little higher. At 100 megahertz, RG8X has an attenuation of 3.1 dB per 100 feet, while RG142 is 3.8, a little lossier there. But let's look at the power rating. At 100 megahertz, RG8X is good out to 250 watts. RG142 is good to 2,400 watts. I like to use it for critical jumpers and broadcast installations and sensitive test equipment in high RF fields. Now I'm going to show you today how to install a BNC coax connector because that's something I needed to do. I'm going to show you a few hints here that'll make it go maybe a little bit easier and a little more accurate. I'm using a good quality one here. This one is silver plated. It's not the cheapest connector around, but then again, this cable is not that cheap. When you start looking around online, you find it goes from $4 to $5 a foot. So why not spend a little extra on a good connector for it? A standard BNC connector for RG58 would fit this cable just fine. Now, whenever you're going to install a coax connector or really any type of connector for that matter. If you don't know exactly the length that you should strip back your cable, well, let me show you a little trick here. The first thing you want to do, and I recommend you get one of these anyway, pick up one of these cheap calipers here. You can find them on sale at Harbor Freight for less than $20. This is going to make it much easier to do your cable measurements here. I'll just put it on inches, make sure that it's zeroed, calibrated. Now, how do I know how much of this to strip back? Well, I go to the website for the connector that I'm interested in, and I downloaded the spec sheet for it. And we can see right here, they almost always give you recommended cable stripping dimensions there. If we strip back to these exact dimensions, then we can be sure that this is going to be a good connector installation. If I'm only doing a single cable, well, I'll just take my calipers out here and adjust it out to the sizes that I need. 1.57. Lock it down there. Get it right on the money, which is, a little challenge when you're working with those figures that small. Now, this diagram is not to scale, as you can see. But this is how much of the center conductor we need sticking out. So if I'm doing a single cable, well, I'll just cut it based on that and go through each of them there. But, you know, I've got a fair amount of this cable. I'm going to be putting on a lot of connectors. So to make the job go a little bit quicker, I took a piece of plastic from a connector shell and I measured it out. I've got one division here for 0.157, then I've got another one for the 0.146 that we need for the dielectric to stick out, and then 0.327 for the shield. And that's just a handy little gauge I can use here since I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of these in the future. So we can put our calipers away. Now for B and C connectors, yeah, I'm not a big fan of crimp-on connectors generally, but for these, I am. Now, I will crimp that center pin as well, but I'm also going to solder it. And there's a little hole in the side where you can flow solder into it. If you've ever tried to put a standard B and C connector together where you've got the little nut on the back, boy, this is so much easier. And you're going to do a much better job with it. It's easiest if you start right at the end and work your way back rather than go the other direction. The first thing I'm going to do is take my little gauge here, or the calipers. I'm going to determine how much of that center conductor I need sticking through. That much right there. So I'll begin cutting the cable right there using a sharp knife. I've got to go through two shields. And that's the first thing I'm going to try to do here. I don't want to go all the way through and nick the center conductor. Now let's just check it to make sure that we are the right length. And yeah, we're exactly where we need to be on that. So now we're going to take the dielectric off. I got to be real careful here. I only want to just cut the dielectric and not nick that center conductor, because that'll weaken our connection if we do that. This stuff here is Teflon, too, so it's a really good dielectric. The next thing we need to do is strip back just enough of the shield there so that we've exposed the correct amount of dielectric. Let's take another measurement here to see that everything's good so far. And it is right on the money. The next step is to expose the correct amount of shield, and just want to cut through the jacket here, not cut into the shield itself. And let's check that dimension. It's right on the money too. The next thing we do is a step that you really need to try to remember, and that's to slide this back down the cable, get it out of the way so you've got your ring to crimp down. Put our pin on the center conductor there. Of course, you're going to need the correct size of crimping tool, and I just happen to have one here back from when we used to install networks using RG58 cable. It's correct size for this as well. And there we go. Slide the pin up inside the connector. Pull the shell back up. And there we go. Nice strong BNC connector. So if you're going to put a coax connector on and you're not positive of how to strip it back, download the spec sheet. And do yourself a favor. Go by Harbor Freight. Pick up one of these cheap calibers here. I found it to be pretty doggone accurate. It's really saved me a lot of time.
Yeah, those
calipers, yeah, I use them all the time. Especially, I bought them to use with my 3D printer, but I find it kind of handy to measure a lot of stuff.
What do you think about this cable?
Yeah, this stuff just looks expensive.
It is.
It's heavy too, man.
Yeah.
I think I've seen people using that in like a patch panel bay.
Yeah.
To, you know, go, I don't know that they used BNC, but I've seen those before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see them on repeaters a lot for connecting the duplexers together. Here, I don't think I can get it close enough. You can really see it. But, on test equipment, broadcast installations, it's just really good cable.
Yep.
And it is really good cable. You know, I first used it with some test equipment before we had these handheld antenna analyzers. Well, and still in AM broadcast, we use antenna bridge, which is a little more expensive than the handheld analyzer. And I had a synthesizer detector that I used with that to simulate a transmitter. And we're getting some leakage. The antenna impedance readings just weren't very repeatable. They were just kind of crazy. And I was using regular RG58 to patch those two instruments together. So I went and bought some of this, fixed up a couple of patch cords, put it on there, eliminated the problem altogether. Someone suggested that to me. I don't remember who it was now. That was 30 years ago, probably. But there's definitely good uses for double-shielded cable when you're working with tiny signals especially. Well, you know, last week, I wasn't here last week, but I was here the week before, and I had Gordo's General Class Amateur Radio Study Guide with me, and I pulled a question out of it that, as you can see, he had flagged it for me so that I would have some good questions for everyone here. And this one was, which of the following can perform automatic notching of interfering carriers? Is it bandpass tuning, a digital signal processor, DSP filter, balanced mixing, or a noise limiter? Well, most everyone got this right here, and there could only be one winner. And so we did a drawing of the winners, and we came up with Donald Godward, N7FLT, and he said DSP can do auto-notch, and that is correct, Donald. Newer rigs, most all of them have DSP in them, and the notch filter is automatic. It's using that DSP and automatically finds the frequency that the offending signal is on and just notches it right out. So, what are we going to send you? Oh, I've already sent it to you. And it was one of these right here. Bob's not here, so I'm going to give away his book. It's the Howell Ham Radio Handbook. And this is second edition. Bob did this just a few years back. He went through and revamped the handbook, brought it up to date. And it's got some great information in here that very handy to have around the shack. There's I can't really describe it. There's so much stuff in here. It's it's all, I won't say it's a ARRL handbook, but you'll find a lot of the same types of information in here. A really great resource. For next week, I've got another nice prize here. This is the MFJ-148RC radio control clock. It's a dual 12 or 24-hour clock, and it syncs itself with WWV automatically. You can select 12 or 24 hours. You can put two different time zones in here. Of course, being in the central time zone, I've got one side set for that, and I've got the other side set for UTC. Very convenient. There's also a 10-minute ID timer built into it, so it's got everything that you'd want in a clock in your ham shack. Sets itself. You got UTC and your local time on it. What more could you ask for? And the 10-minute ID timer. I know no one here ever forgets to ID every 10 minutes. But if you know someone who does, they could really use one of these right here. If you'd like to win that, well, I've got a question for you related to what we just talked about. What does BNC stand for? Where'd they come up with the initials B and C for that connector? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we might just draw your name next week and send you a really nice clock there, courtesy of our friends at MFJ Enterprises. Amanda, I know you're still here, and you've probably got a few questions gathered up there, so let's just get right on into it.
Well, I have questions, but not only that, I have some announcements to make tonight before we go back to the Lee family. The first thing is, don't forget, you guys, we have the TWIT survey ready and out right now. We need you guys to go out there, fill it out. What does it take, like 3 minutes of your life, Victor? I think that's it.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't take very long.
Yeah. Tell them what you like to see, and tell them all the shows you watch on TWIT. And I bet there's several of you that watch more than Ham Nation, so they'd like to hear about those. Next thing I have is we have the YLOM contest this weekend. Nietzsche wanted us to know that. Google it for more information. There's a few rules you got to follow. There's a time limit, and it's February 8th through February 9th, I believe. Also, I don't know the special event call sign, but look for the Olympic station out there operating from South Korea. This is really cool. I love the Olympics. I know who else loves the Olympics is Bob and Sarah Heil. They are huge Olympics fans, and we will sometimes text and see if we're watching the same event. We do have a blast watching them. Mine is figure skating. I'm a sucker for it, and curling comes on tonight. So I'm going to be there. All right. Let's go to questions to the Lee family. Now, James, you mentioned that your brilliant kids are taking some college courses. Why don't they tell us what they're going to be taking and what they're going to be majoring in college?
Well, I am going to actually let Faith Hannah answer that, and maybe we'll get Zechariah to stick his head in here real quick to say hi. But we homeschool our kids, and Faith Hannah and Zechariah are dual enrolled at Daytona State College, where once they get their associate's degree, they can get straight into University of Central Florida. So, Faith Hannah, you talk a little bit about what you took, and then we can get Zechariah in and move the camera around so we can see him. So go ahead and take it, Faith Hannah.
Right now, this semester, I am taking English 1102. So that I can work on my school stuff here at home, and also so there's time to do radio, somewhat at least. And I haven't decided what I'm going to major in. It's probably going to end up being something to do with languages, though.
And Zechariah, why don't you tell us what it is that you want to do and what classes? Whoa, too far. There we go. High tech here.
Aeronautical engineering is...
Much louder.
Aeronautical engineering is my future major, I guess.
That's most people do not look forward to that at your age. Who got you interested in that? Was part of it ham radio or just other mentors?
How did Zechariah get interested in nautical engineering?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Zechariah came out of his mom's womb with an airplane in his hand.
That is funny. Well, you know, you couldn't live in a better place for it. You have some NASA operations down there, and you get to go and visit the Epcot Center and learn a whole lot about things like that. So that's awesome. And Zachariah, I apologize. I think you're 15. That is not what was on my mind at 15. Definitely getting my driver's license and being a rebel was my thing. So those are great outlooks for you. Another question we had is, James, you mentioned that you and the family go to a lot of club meetings. Do you guys do a lot of presentations there? Hope, do you want to answer that? Do you guys do presentations for your club?
Well, when we're going to talk, like, at youth farms in Dayton and lots of other things, we usually, like, practice at our local clubs. They help us practice, and we can have a program for that meeting, but we have done it a lot, and Daddy's given some as well.
I'll say, Amanda, Grace was invited back in November to speak at the Lawrenceville, Georgia Ham Fest. She gave a presentation, a much longer presentation on solar panels and solar power than she gave at the Dayton Youth Forum last year. And she did a really good job. And they actually, I think, made her the keynote speaker. I was a little bit like, hey, how come you guys are waiting and making her last? They said, because we want people to stick around longer. And she had a standing room only crowd when she was speaking.
It doesn't get better than that. Now, I'm guessing, are you and the kiddos going to Xenia this year? Are they also going to be part of the kids forum again? Youth forum, I should say, not kids. I'm sorry.
We are planning on going to Xenia, but they've all spoken at the youth forum, and it's time to let other there are so many bright youth kids, whatever you want to call them, in ham radio. And I think, is it Violetta?
Violetta
is KM4ATT is a friend of the girls. She'll be speaking. There's some other, every kid that speaks at the youth forum is good. So we'll be there to see it and to support it. But there won't be any Lee family speaking at the youth forum this year.
Well, I'm just glad you're going there. First of all, your exposure to other people in ham radio is overwhelming. I mean, Don, what were you doing at 12 years old? Eating crayons in a corner?
Yeah, I'm still doing that. But Zachariah and I are kind of kindred spirits. So I grew up. My mother was a civilian employee of Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma City, which was the largest Strategic Air Command overhaul depot in the world. And a cool memory I have of airplanes and of Tinker, and I know that Zachariah will get a kick out of this. I had a model of an F-111. This would have been 1969, 1970. I was 9 or 10. It was a frontline aircraft with the U.S. Air Force back then. And it was a fairly good-sized model, probably about that long, and I could not figure out what the nose gear was doing. There was it was just one single molded piece, and for airplane people, the Mayo strut on the front of the nose gear that keeps the wheel straight as it's landing and taxiing. I couldn't figure out what that was. It was just a solid molded piece. And my mother saw that I was struggling with it. And she said, why don't you put that in the box? I have to work alert this weekend. Why don't you come to the base with me, bring your model, and I know someone that can help you with that. So we went over to, I think it's building 3001 at Tinker Air Force Base, which the building is a mile long. It is where everything from B-52s to little small Cessna forward air control spotter airplanes were in, being overhauled and in various states of assembly. And a mechanic in coveralls asked me, well, what don't you understand about this? So I don't know what this is. He says, oh, that's easy. And he took a blanket and threw it against the nose wheel of an F-111, and we sat there with our backs against the nose wheel, looking up into the front gear bay of this jet. He says, okay, this is on your model, and this is what this is, and that's what this does, and this is what all this does. You want to see the rest of the airplane? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to see the rest of the airplane. So, yeah, Zachariah, you and I are kindred spirits, so go for it, man. The sky's the limit, literally. Go for it.
And I agree, and I have the saddest story ever. I, in elementary school, I entered an essay contest to win a trip to space camp, but they didn't tell you that even if you won, you had to pay for your own airfare to go, and I won, and we did not have enough money to afford to be able to go, so let's make all the kids cry right now, sorry. That's my sad story. I didn't have any other questions for the Lee family, but it was really great to have them on. And I think Victor has, did you have some websites to show for the Lee family? There you go. Ham Radio World. That's their YouTube channel, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. There you go. That's where you can go and check out their latest videos. These guys are so active. They post almost weekly. So, James, Lee family, do you guys have anything else for us before I announce the Nets tonight?
Well, thank you for having us. I'm making a behind-the-scenes video to put on YouTube right now.
that's great.
You know, there's Michelle and HZQZ in there, so we've gotten everybody in.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for
having us, and we hope to see everybody at Hamcation or at Xenia. The videos have been a little bit fewer as of late because of the college stuff, and I'm working on a political campaign, so that's keeping me away from home more than I want to be. But there'll be more videos, and just keep watching. We appreciate it, and anytime you want us to come on the show.
Did you share about her video about
that? Yeah. Oh no, that's right. Yeah, there is a video on Facebook. You guys were talking about the Fox 1D, or not on Facebook, on YouTube. You're talking about the Fox 1D satellite. Hope, well, we all got the chance to go, but Hope did the interview a couple years ago when they were doing the shake and bake testing for the Fox 1D and Cliff satellites. Jerry Buxton, N0JY, and Bob, I can't remember his last name or his call, and I'm drawing a blank. Three guys from AMSAT came here to Orlando, and we got to visit with those satellites literally standing inches away from them as they were testing them and getting them ready to be put in the shake and bake testing. And Hope put up a video on YouTube, and it's a really interesting video. It's got a lot of information about the satellites. These things are not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. I mean, or maybe like five packs of cigarettes cubed. And as they go across the sky, you can talk through them. I'm able to work AO-91, Fox 1B and D, AO-92, from the Suburban as I'm driving back and forth between West Virginia and here. So that's a video to really check out and see. And AMSAT is doing a great job with those satellites, and we're having a lot of fun with them. So anytime you want us to come back on, we're happy to. We're happy to help spread the word about ham radio, and hopefully we'll see everybody either this weekend at Orlando or somewhere along the way.
Dayton, Orlando, wherever it is. Now, I want all of you ladies and Zachariah. Hi, Michelle, by the way. Great for you to join in on the camera there. Don't forget to stop by and say hi to Dr. Bob. He would love to say hello to all of you. And I know I think he was kind of bummed that he wasn't on the show tonight. He's on his way to Orlando. So I'm going to make a few announcements here. We have some nets. There is not going to be a 40-meter net tonight because KC7 FPF is gearing up for Hamcation and packing up to leave first thing in the morning. So he apologizes, but if anyone else wants to start a rag chew, a Ham Nation rag chew on 40, feel free. We also have the D-Star net on 14 Charlie, Echolink on D-Drop In, and the DMR net on TAC 311. So if anyone wants to join in on those, please check in. They always love it. And I think I have gone over through all the announcements. If I have missed anything, I completely apologize. Get to Orlando this weekend. Don, I think you're wrapping it up.
I think I am. This has been an amazing show tonight. Thank you so much to the Lee family. And Randy, thank you for bringing us Jerry and Amy. That's just amazing. We're hope to get to part two next week. George, good stuff with the BNC. And Amanda, your usual great job. Thanks to Dr. T for jumping in with the solar update. We hope to have most of the band back together next week. We'll see if we can get Bob and Gordo back, and maybe we'll hear a little bit from Valerie and get an update on exactly where the folks that were heading to Bouvet and are now heading back, and of course her family member. We'll see if we can get an update on where they are. And so until next week, we'll say 7-3, everyone. Good night. And thanks for being part of Ham Nation. You're part of the family, and we wouldn't do it if you weren't there. So thanks for giving us a reason to come and say hi on a Wednesday night. So for everybody else around here at Ham Nation and Victor and everybody else at Twit and over at WTWW, good night, everybody. 7-3, and we'll see you all next week.
And if you're looking for something to do on Saturday night, join us at 8 Central Standard Time, 0200 UTC, live.amateurlogic.tv. We'll be doing our next live episode there. And I've got some good HamFest footage and a couple of interesting interviews on there.
Nice.
We have some photo bombers over here in the Lee family. I think that they're adorable.